Welcome to the Air Force Doctrine Podcast. On this episode, I sit down with Colonel Gabriel Arrington to discuss his experience with standing up and leading the Air Force's first modern air task force, the 12th Air Task Force, based at Scott Air Force Base, Illinois. We discuss the unit of action concept, where the Air Force currently stands with regard to air task force implementation, and how air task forces may change our command and control doctrine. This is a great discussion on one of the most significant changes in the Air Force's modern force presentation model as we re-optimize for great power competition. Please join us. Thank you for taking the time to be here. I really appreciate you dedicating a little bit of your time to talk to the Air Force Doctrine Podcast on air task forces and where we're headed with our new Air Force force presentation models and structures. So, sir, welcome to the show, and we'll jump right into it. So, we want to talk about air task forces, air task force structure. Let the force know what air task forces are going to look like in the immediate future and where they're going to evolve to as we continue to work on this model. So let's start with history and what air task forces are going to be for us. There are a lot of historical examples of air task forces all the way back to General George Kinney in World War II. And so what's the current model for air task forces and why are we implementing them?
Keith, thanks for having me. And this is an exciting topic, an exciting change for the Air Force. The Chief just talked on this yesterday at AFA. So it's fun times. It's a great time to be an airman. And it's a great time for our airmen that are involved in this change to really lead the Air Force into the future of how we're going to present our combat forces. Yeah, modern air task force. What does it look like? The air task force is one air task force or one UTC presented to the joint force for combat employment. And it is sourced from four bases. So one UTC from four bases. This differs in how we've done things in the past. Say for 30 plus years in the global war on terror, we had air expeditionary wings, the IEDs of the world, Al-Dhafra, et cetera, in which we sourced probably 150 UTCs from around 100 bases, right? And you got just-in-time training before your combat deployment. You would show up at D plus zero there in theater and be expected to execute your combat mission. Yeah, from that, the Air Force currently has over 107,000 UTCs, averaging 4.6 airmen, 4.7 airmen per UTC. Some of those include military working dogs. When we start to think about that and how we are placing people in combat over the last 30 years, we had to based on the threat. However, the threats changed to near peer and peer level adversary potential threats. We've started to shift the way that we organize, train, and equip, and present forces to the joint force. So we went from AEWs to XABs a couple years ago. And XABs are about 80 UTCs from probably 50 bases. And you have the opportunity to assemble and organize, train and certify a little bit before that deployment, particularly the command echelon. But we're still sourcing from over 50 bases. The ATF is a step in the pathway of organizational change to get down to that one UTC that we'll present to the SecDef and command commanders from four bases. And we back that training certification period up a year. And so on 1 October, my air task force will enter their prepare phase, and then 6 months later, our certify phase. And so we are training and certifying a holistic air task force over the course of a year so that they will be ready to go on day one when they're in theater.
Awesome. So just for clarification, XAB is the Expeditionary Airbase UTC set that you just discussed as 80 UTCs, but this is a move towards one UTC with one unit of action that currently is in garrison spread out over about four other airbases, correct?
That's correct.
So we discussed this just a little bit before the show. How do air task forces relate to some new terms that we've heard? We've heard deployable combat wings, in-place combat wings, force generation wings. So what's the difference between air task forces and these new unit of action that we're hearing about?
That's a great question. As the information continues to flow to airmen across the Air Force and the Joint Force, air task forces are meant to be a bridge to deployable combat wings. And what I mean by that is deployable combat wings are planned to take over combat deployments in FY28. And so ultimately, we want to source our combat capability from one base. So that deployable combat wing will be one UTC from one base versus the air task force right now. It's one UTC sourced from four bases. Again, the benefit of that, and and how you organize, train, and equip your force to deploy to combat is a more powerful force presentation to the joint force. And really, you know, in my opinion, this is a better way to take care of airmen. When we look through our history and we try to help airmen, we try to help families, particularly when it comes to the stresses of combat and mentally processing those stresses, and then learning how to deal with and cope with stress and reintegrate and helping our families cope with stress. Those UTCs of 4.6, 4.7 airmen, that's different than having one UTC from one base. Now you have a community that is trained together over the course of a year. We're learning lessons and we're taking care of families and airmen in a better place versus, you know, how we've done force support when it comes to mental health support. I think this is a better way to take care of airmen and families as well.
Excellent. My experiences with deploying in fighter squadrons has always been to deploy as a team. And that's always been very beneficial to always have a team that's built there ahead of time and a team to deploy with, execute with, and come home with, and being able to lean on your teammates. And so I can see how that is going to benefit now airmen across the enterprise as they deploy into combat situations in the future. So, sir, tell us about your air task force. The 12th Air Task Force just stood up at the beginning of September is when you activated. What is the 12th ATF's mission and how is it structured?
Yeah, so the mission of the 12th Air Task Force is to be the Air Force's ready unit of action for competition and combat, emphasizing unit of action. We have a combat-focused mentality, and we are focused on our task mission set that will be identified when the Secretary of Defense signs a Global Force Management Plan, and we link up with the combatant command that we are assigned to and the air component from that combat command. But the vision that we have in the 12th Air Task Force is mission-ready airmen serving as the United States Air Force's premier combat unit of action, empowered through deliberate operational preparedness and optimized for combat effectiveness. So again, combat-focused mentality. We know what our task mission set is. We have an idea of where we're going and who is going to be there and what our mission is going to be. And in doing so, we're able to prepare at a deeper level than we've been able to do in the past. We're able to train at a deeper level or identify capability gaps early, and so that we come together as a team. How we're organized, 12th Air Task Force has its command echelon based out of Scott Air Force Base. And then we have CSSTs at three locations. The lead CSST is based out of Barksdale with approximately 153 people, maybe 180-ish now. And then we have two other CSSTs based out of Scott and Little Rock. They are led by a Combat Air Base Squadron commander who is based out of Barksdale. And then over time, based on the SecDef signing the GIFMIP, we will have mission generation force elements that are assigned to the 12th Air Task Force. And so we have an idea of where those units are going to come from. And think major weapon system squadrons. We're expecting 3 to 4 mission generation force elements, each of which will have 400 to 500 personnel as well. All told, this will accumulate to be approximately 2,500 airmen that will come together for a 400-level certification event. And that is tasked to be in a joint coalition environment against a peer-level adversary threat. So we certify in the summer of 25 for a deployment to SETCOM in October of 25.
Okay, so filling in the blanks on a few of these. So your Air Task Force has, obviously you have a command layer that consists of yourself and your staff. Everyone is familiar now with Air Staff. So you have an Air Staff in your command layer as well?
Yes. The command echelon has an A Staff, approximately 47 to 15 people.
Okay. And then your mission layer, you said you're going to have 3 to 4 mission generation units. And correct me if I'm wrong, but this is a MAF-centric Air Task Force. So what MDSs do you expect to have in your task force, or is it MDS agnostic?
That's a common misunderstanding, I would say, with the unit of action and how things are rolling out, particularly with the Air Task Forces. So ADCON-wise, I'm based at Scott. I report to the AMC DECON, ADCON-wise, right? And ADCON flows from the secretary to the chief, and then the chief has said that ADCON will flow to the MAGCON, ECOMs, and then the Air Task Forces. And so with that, right, that differs from, right, OPCON and TACON. OPCON, command commander authority, and then the AFSEN commander will have TACON over the 12th Air Task Force. But we are sourcing from different installations. The majority of my A staff doesn't have a background in mobility air forces. The majority of the CSST personnel, say Barksdale's largest contingent, don't have a math background. Can't speak directly to those Mission Generation Force elements yet. However, we anticipate that most of them will not be math assets.
All right. So a little more MDS agnostic, like you said. So this is the unit of action. It is the structure by which we can take our forces and plug and play into a deployed environment. Is that a better way of stating it then?
Absolutely.
Okay. The other term you use there that folks may not be familiar with is the CSST, so Combat Service Support Teams. Is that correct? And what is their function within the Air Task Force?
So this is 60-plus Air Force specialty codes coming together to form that combat airbase squadron. So they are responsible for the operating of the base, creating the environment so that we can launch aircraft, those various major weapon systems, all the support and sustainment capabilities that come with any kind of operating base location.
All right, sir. So Air Force Doctrine Publication 336, Air Mobility, states that air mobility enables joint force maneuver. How will the 12th Air Task Force contribute to joint force maneuver?
Great question. So joint force maneuver, really, yeah, this has been in the works for, I would say, 5 or 6 years now, ever since Chief was director of Joint Staff J5, and the first version of the joint warfighting concept was delivered from the Joint Force and approved by Secretary of Defense. And so this is a move, I would say, that the Air Task Force structure is globally postured, meaning we are ready to execute missions across the traditional Air Force core mission set to include that mobility mission that contributes to joint force maneuver. And the joint warfighting concept, one of the cornerstone or foundational focus area of that is joint force maneuver, not just for, air assets, but data for our joint partners, et cetera. And so one of the things that the Air Task Force and Unit of Action structure allows for airmen to do is to re-optimize the focus on joint functions, that command and control, intelligence, information, fires, movement and maneuver, protection and sustainment. And so we have a rich history and a foundation in our Air Force core missions of air and space superiority, ISR, rapid global mobility, global strike, and C2. However, by focusing on those joint functions, we're allowing airmen to train and certify over the year to really become mission-ready airmen. We're putting a lot of meat on the bone at allowing those airmen to develop the skills, particularly the cognitive skills necessary to execute on those joint functions for the joint force. And as a result, that contributes to how the 12th Air Task Force will enable joint force maneuver.
Will the 12th Air Task Force incorporate total force integration of our Air Guard and Reserve components?
Great question, because the Air Force and DoD does not and will not run without total force and Guard and Reserve partnerships. The 12th ATF currently isn't projected, however, to have Guard and Reserve members in our structure. However, I do believe that Barksdale Reserves are leading a CSST for a 26.2 deployment. And as the next air task forces come online for a FY27 deployment, my understanding is that two of those air task forces will be led by the Guard.
Okay, so the Guard will pick up a couple of air task forces as well. And we discussed this just a moment ago. So the 12th Air Task Force, and we talk about the different air task forces that are being stood up. Your Air Task Force, 12th Air Task Force, stood up on about 4 September is when you activated as the first Air Task Force to activate. But you've also got three other Air Task Forces that are reporting to Air Combat Command. So you've got the 13th Air Task Force at Joint Base San Antonio, the 22nd Air Task Force, which will be at Fairchild Air Force Base, and the 23rd Air Task Force at Seymour Johnson Air Force Base. And all of those are ACC, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, and then we can expect in the future an 11th Air Task Force at Davis-Monthan Air Force Base and a 21st Air Task Force at Dyess Air Force Base. Are those also ACC?
No, that's the 11th will be AFSOC and the 21st it is Global Strike, as far as ADCON-wise.
As far as ADCON. And again, so the COMRAIL for ATFs is important, I think, for folks to understand that each one of these ATFs administratively will report to a MAGCOM, but that structure for Comrail will change when you get into a deployed environment. So what will be the Comrail for the Air Task Force when the Air Task Force does deploy to an AOR?
Great question. So back it up a little bit. It's important to realize that each one of the Air Task Force is globally postured, right? And so the first three, the 11th, 12th, and 13th, will deploy in October of 25 and then be replaced by the following three. The 11th is projected to go to Indo-PACOM, with the 12th and 13th projected to go to SECOM and then be replaced appropriately from the next three. So with that, the ADCON portion of how the Air Task Force is constructed is designed to allow those ATF members to focus on that combat training over the course of a year. That's the ADCON piece. When we flow and when we deploy, say, I know that we're projected to go to SETCOM. Our team, along with the 13th Air Task Force Command team, has already been to Shaw to sit down with the AFSET commander to get his commander's intent, look at current operations, look at where different major weapon systems are, get the A2 picture of the threat laydown so that our airmen can start training towards what is currently happening within that AOR now. And so Comrail-wise, it's kind of a blend of how we've done it in the past. Because, yep, ADCON-wise for me, AMC DCOM, but we are very much in step with who will have the future take on an OpCon of our force.
Excellent. Okay. What challenges are you facing as the 12th Air Task Force is being stood up?
Yeah, I will say there are leadership opportunities versus challenges, right? And that's a little bit of tongue-in-cheek, but really, change is consistently happening, right? The character of warfare is continuing to change based on what we're seeing happen globally. And that's true regardless of which AOR you're talking about, which threat scenario or current operation or which future threat we may face. So it's important to understand that as the world changes, so must we. And we're not the only ones changing. The joint force is changing with the joint warfighting concept. This change with how we present our forces is more in line, say, with carrier strike groups or brigade combat teams, how the joint force presents its forces to combat commanders. And so there's an opportunity there for airmen of every rank, every position, to lead through this change. And that takes us being honest and transparent about challenges, risk, resourcing, et cetera. It requires us to approach each other in an atmosphere of mutual dignity and respect, because every one of our missions is important. Every one of the host installations that is supplying air into the Air Task Force, they have no-fail missions that they have to accomplish as well. And so as we continue this change, that honesty and transparency is important. But ultimately, with these challenges and leadership opportunities, it's important to keep our eye on the end goal, right? A deployable combat wing that will take over in FY28 for those deployments, and how that's going to be a better force presentation, as well as taking care of our airmen and their families in a better, deeper manner.
Excellent. How is your Air Task Force implementing Air Force Doctrine Publication 1-1 and Mission Command? There's been a lot of focus over the last year on Mission Command as a leadership philosophy and Mission Command as a C2 methodology. So how is your Air Task Force getting after Mission Command?
I would say, a few things on that. One, I absolutely trust my team. And so we're utilizing mission type orders. I've issued plan orders as well as op orders to accomplish task training at our missions. For instance, I had part of my command echelon was at Fort Bliss last week with the Army and other ATFs, getting into detailed planning of how the holistic ATF will train there over the course of the entire month of January. And so gone are the days in which a commander like myself needs to have a morning touch point and an evening touch point and give updates throughout the day. And so we utilized mission type orders so that portion of my command team completely understood commander's intent, completely understood the mission objectives for that engagement. And they're able to operate over the course of time without having to have continued daily touch points and updated direction for me. Now that translates into combat, right? That's what we are expecting to have. We are expecting to have degraded communications. We need to enable mission-ready airmen to accomplish commander's intent through mission-type orders. And so we are literally backing up how we're going to employ our combat force a year. And it's replicated every day in our TDYs, in how we manage our time as a staff, and then how we train it.
Sir, how do you think the shift to Air Task Forces will change our Air Force doctrine? Is the Air Force lacking doctrine on Air Task Force implementation that we need to develop?
I would say that we probably need to continue to take a look within, to continue to change with the world and changing character of warfare. And what I mean by that is the senior leadership and the chief have said that we must change. And so we've been focused on doctrinally and those Air Force core missions, which have made us the best tacticians, you know, in the world. We have the best Air Force. However, as we continue to encounter new threats and the world continues to change, for instance, with one-way attack drones, we have to continue to adjust our focus on our doctrine. And arguably, I think that that may be where the shift to the joint functions that we spoke of earlier. I think focusing on those better enables maneuver in the form of ACE. Agile combat employment is movement and maneuver for the joint force and a joint function. And so to understand that and start with the foundation of the joint functions, that may lead to change in how we view Air Force doctrine as one of the joint fight.
Yeah, I can certainly see that. And that is being reflected by a lot that's currently being developed here at the LeMay Center. So with the shift to the mission command structure and how that's going to flow down to how we do operations, how we command and control our forces, and how we organize at the operational level. And I think our Air Force, again, the greatest Air Force in the world, but we're a very tactically focused Air Force. And I can speak from my personal experience in the combat Air Force. Everyone's familiar with 3-3s and 3-1s and ALSA MTTPs, and the Air Force is very good tactically. But to your point, we've been directed to change, and we've been directed to change how we structure and present our forces. And so it's changing operational doctrine as well. And so I think that the Air Task Force structure, it's going to change how we have to provide the command and control and deployed environments. And I think you'll see some of the products that are coming out here in the LeMay Center in the next few months hopefully help out with, you know, how do we command and control ACE? How do we provide, how do we do distributed control and decentralized executions at the operational level? So there's a lot of goodness that'll come from that. Where do you see Air Task Forces changing in the future? And what can our airmen expect as we continue to develop this new force presentation model?
Yeah, I think Air Task Forces will continue to iterate. And I personally like that the Air Task Force that comes out and replaces my Air Task Force will not be necessarily identical in thoughts to the 12th Air Task Force. Hopefully, we can iterate quickly and give them lessons learned so that they are at a advantageous place when it comes to task mission set and the potential threats and potential capability gaps. And so as we continue to shift to the global combat wings, I think that will be a better force presentation for the joint force. It'll allow better integration with other efforts that are, say, reorganizing for great power competition, like the stand-up of Integrated Capabilities Command. I think it'll better allow us to identify capability gaps that may have traditionally fallen through the MAJCOM and program record construct. For instance, when I say that, I'm thinking about, say, layered air-based defense when it comes to a counter-Suez, you know, mission set, right? That's an area that is quickly moving at the pace of industry, at the pace of emerging technology. And that's something that is a capability that we absolutely have to have at every AOR. So I think that the ATF construct will allow us to iterate more quickly and fill some of those gaps to better support the joint force.
Is there anything else that you wanted to discuss or any other parting thoughts that you might want to add to this?
There's a lot of change with the Air Force, and the chief and the vice chief are messaging those changes, right? Like for you as a field grade officer, some of those changes leave you with questions, right? I mean, essentially the group command for the most part going away. That could be something that is a significant emotional event for some members of the force, and that's okay. But, you know, for so long we said, well, I just want to do my tactical mission set, or I just want to do X, Y, and Z, or leaders want to lead. I think we have consistently, as an Air Force, ever since General Kenny in the Pacific, as MacArthur's airman, we have continued to iterate and change. Sometimes that's below the system, and it's not as apparent as it is now, but it's an exciting time. And for those field grade officers that want to be leaders, wow, what an opportunity. What an opportunity to be a DCOM of an air base wing that float up and be the commander of a global combat wing. When we talk about leadership principles that we invest so heavily in our officer corps in, that's great. I love that. When it comes to airmen, responsibility is being pushed down the chain of command at the rank level. What an incredible time in which the chief and the vice chief are empowering airmen to do things and lead and get after a combat task mission set. And really, that's what they signed up for, right? My task force, we are, again, have that combat-focused mentality for a year. So the airmen of the Air Task Force aren't tasked with doing some of the extra stuff that we've been accustomed to do, right? There are other people that do that valuable portion of the mission. That is not the task force. We're focused on combat, and we're seeing airmen are really energized. That's what they signed up to do. They want to accomplish mission. They want to deploy forward. They want to protect the country, our allies, and our like national security objectives. So it's a fun time. And I think 10 years from now, we're going to look at ourselves and say, wow, we are a more effective combat force than we were 10 years ago. And we're going to look at our airmen, and I think they're going to be happier for it. And they're going to have a better quality of life, and their family members are going to be happier as well.
This concludes this month's podcast. This show is recorded, edited, and produced by the LeMay Center Doctrine Outreach Section. Special thanks to Colonel Gabriel Arrington and his staff in the 12th Air Force Command Element, as well as Air University and the LeMay Center, in assisting with the production of this podcast. As always, the views expressed by our panel members are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of Air University, the Air Force, or any government agency. I'm Keith Conway, and we will see you next time.